Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal: enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Eye and Wisp Politics. Look at this week in a election season. We're less than 2 months out. Less than 60 days. But first, Wiz I was there. Democratic Senator Erpenbach criticizes the Attorney General for suing to kill the Affordable Care Act. Governor Walker speaks to the Milwaukee Rotary. Legislator Kuglich asks this great question: who is liable for accidents involving self-driving vehicles? And the Democratic candidate running for Attorney General says the incumbent, quote, mishandled, his word, the investigation to the Lincoln Hills Juvenile Prison. Wish I was there.
What the governor and the Attorney General fail to understand, that the Affordable Care Act is actually a popular thing. We have an Attorney General now who's joined a lawsuit to dismantle the Affordable Care Act, which essentially is taking away health care coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. And that's about a couple of million people in Wisconsin. I would tend to think if you took away Brad Schimmel and Scott Walker's health insurance, they would understand how important the Affordable Care Act would be.
Today in Wisconsin, we actually have more career opportunities posted in our state on any given week than we have technically unemployed people in the entire state of Wisconsin. It's not just about jobs, 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 as it was when we first ran. It's all about workforce, workforce, workforce.
If you think electric vehicles are going to be disruptive, just wait till autonomous vehicles. I mean, look at all the policy changes we're going to have to make, especially from the safety side, right, the liability side. Right now, at the state level, you know, the operator is the one that's liable. Well, when there's nobody behind a wheel, who's the operator?
It is in the twilight, the last few important minutes of this trial, that a disaster occurred.
Was the disaster that he was not asked whether he admitted to the crime?
That was one of the disasters, Judge.
They convicted him, right?
He got convicted.
Okay, so obviously they didn't believe him when he said, I didn't do this.
The duty of the BCPL is to the libraries of public schools. That's the client or the beneficiary of the purpose of the fund, purpose of the program. Why are we, the BCPL, making tax-exempt loans? Why are we making tax-exempt investments for an organization that is tax exempt? Couldn't we better have taxable investments and then get that extra income and then pass that forward to libraries of public schools?
I closed our plant in Arizona and moved dozens of jobs to Mount Pleasant. However, the lease legislation that was considered by the legislature last year and has been talked about in this committee sends the exact opposite message to the businesses that Wisconsin is open for business. For us, this legislation would raise our property taxes on our Mount Pleasant facility very significantly, and I have to believe that there are a lot of other manufacturers across the state that would be negatively impacted.
How do you feel about the federal investigation in the Lincoln Hills?
What I do think is that our AG's office has mishandled the investigation. I think that, as you know, they were involved in investigating what was going on there for a period of time. They didn't devote significant resources to that investigation. And then the state stopped investigating it altogether. This is a juvenile facility in Wisconsin involving juveniles from Wisconsin. Our AG should have remained a part of that investigation.
Welcome back, JR, from your week off.
Thank you.
We had a Labor Day shortened week, but we're now within, as you said, within 60 days of the election. Mm-hmm. So this is a public service segment. All these independent third-party groups, mm-hmm. They form, and nobody knows where they're getting their money, largely, correct?
Depending which one you're talking about, yes.
Okay. So now they're playing, more than a dozen of them, in our three major races. So let's talk about some of these independent third-party groups that are playing first in the U.S. Senate. And thanks for providing a list of them. I don't know that it's inclusive, and we may see some more later. But as we go down, these third-party groups. Let's look at ProVukmir, Americans for Prosperity Wisconsin. Now, the Koch brothers, this is Koch brothers?
Koch brothers network. Both them and the Conservative Veterans for America are part of the Koch brothers network. So they announced last week each doing $800,000 in TV, both praising Lee and attacking Baldwin, so like $1.6 million together. That's kind of what Vukmir needed at the time, because remember we talked about this before, the question of would independent groups come play in Wisconsin, because Nicholson, Kevin Nicholson, her opponent in the primary, got such attention from like the John Bolton Super PAC and Dick Uihlein funded groups. Would these groups come and play once Vukmir became the nominee and not Nicholson? And our answer is yes, they're going to play. Now the question becomes, to what level going forward? I get the impression that the Koch brother network, they talked about, I think, like spending $400 million.
You and I read the story that they potentially spend, as you just said, $400 million?
That's for everything.
To influence
this cycle.
That's national.
So there's money there. The question becomes, okay, at what intensity will they spend here compared to a work east to west? West Virginia, Indiana, Missouri, North Dakota, Montana. Then, oh, by the way, those are all states where Trump won by double digits but are Democratic incumbents in the U.S. Senate seat. Then you have protects for Republicans in going west to east, Arizona, Nevada, kind of same. And then maybe Tennessee even, okay? Also in Florida, that's looking pretty like neck and neck, Democratic incumbent down there. Well, I've mentioned, I haven't mentioned Wisconsin yet.
Right.
The point is that we're not a top-tier race right now. Now, there's good and bad for Vukmir in that. The bad is obviously we're not top tier. We're not getting that much money. They're not going to focus here on what's going on.
So this was kind of an opening bid by the Koch brothers organization,
maybe.
AFP?
So people I talk to expect that they'll keep playing. Yeah. Again, the intensity is the question. Now, like the NRA Political Victory Fund, like they're doing phone banks for Vukmir. They're not spending big money just yet.
Okay.
I'm seeing this is a combination of what's on TV and then what I'm seeing in FEC reports. They call them independent expenditure reports. Like if you're expressly advocating, vote for, vote against, support, that kind of thing, it's follow the FEC. So I'm seeing like these little things pop up, little radio, little canvassing from a couple of groups that are doing things. We expect the NRSC and the DSCC to play on both sides at some point.
Yep.
We'll see to what extent. For Baldwin, Vote Vets, they came in with a buy over the weekend. They announced it starting this week, saying, kind of defending Baldwin about the opioid problem at the Otoma VA because that's where she's getting hit a lot by Republicans. But what I'm getting is, as long as we're not seeing a top-tier effort financially here, that means Baldwin's not getting, like, defense from a lot of groups, right? So if this race tightens, all right, and we're in mid-October, if Baldwin's not being defended by somebody on the independent side, you could see a late rush of money to help. And that would come maybe, this is all theoretical right now, but if a West Virginia, for example, Montana, I've seen stories nationally that those races are moving toward the Democratic incumbents, that Manchin's doing okay, they're kind of moving down the priority list. It now seems to be like North Dakota, Heidi Heitkamp is the most vulnerable Democratic incumbent right now. They're looking at that one, Missouri, with Claire McCaskill and Joe Donnelly in Indiana, though I saw a poll out of Indiana 2 days ago that had him up by 6 points.
So all this could dramatically change.
Yeah, because money will flow where it's most effective. So if Montana election come off, well, where's the money going to go? Is it going to protect Dean Heller in Nevada or help the nominee in Arizona? So I'm getting at there is an opportunity, like in 2016, we saw a late rush of money that could really tip the balance of this race. Things you got to watch are what's the environment going to be like? How's the governor's race play out? Because if you're thinking about like Wisconsin voters, let's say Scott Walker gets a 52%. How does Baldwin get to 50%? I mean, are there that many crossover voters?
Well, I understand. But
and vice versa, if Baldwin gets to 53, how does Scott Walker get to 50%? Because there just aren't that many ticket splitters anymore.
But the takeaway with all these third-party independent groups is that the average voter watching it either on social media or TV doesn't know who's paying for that, who donated to Concerned Vets for America and NRA. Well, those obviously, but so there's no way that the average voter, there's no place they can go to find out largely who is bankrolling these third-party groups.
Quite often not, no.
Okay. All right. Let's turn to the race for governor. Third-party players, campaign for governor. Obviously, the RGA, the Republican Governors Association, Republican Party of Wisconsin. WMC, Issues Mobilization Council. And again, Americans for Prosperity. You and I have seen the Issues Mobilization Council ad. This is the one that says that Tony Evers spent $400,000 on raises for his aides. That is it PolitiFact that said? Or who threw the flag on this one?
A couple people, because that money isn't set aside for school. It's not in the school funding mix. It's set aside for state employee salaries.
Right.
But just look at the difference in the graphics between the Senate race and the governor's race and how many more groups are doing things. Now, if you look at that, like, End Citizens United on the pro-Evers side, it's like a $25,000 digital buy. Like, this is not a huge thing, but there are just more groups playing because that's viewed as a more competitive race right now. Now, we'll see how things play out the next 60 days. Maybe it changes, but it seems like the belief people I talk to is the governor's race is the more competitive one right now.
Yeah.
Head toward November.
So if the U.S. Senate race is not considered a top tier up for grabs, the governor's race is emerging as one, right?
Absolutely. And okay. We've seen, you know, Marquette had, you know, when I say that Marquette had it Walker plus two, remember, that's inside the margin of error. Much like Suffolk last week had it plus two for Evers, inside the margin of error. Public policy polling's had two surveys out in the last, I want to say, 3 weeks. One had Evers plus five, one had him plus four. I mean, the margin there is plus or minus 4 points. So just outside one piece of the margin. The consistent thing, though, has been the polls that I've seen is that Scott Walker is not doing great with independents. Now, basic math tells you in Wisconsin that you cannot win, Republican or Democrat, without independents. If you're upside down with them in a bad way, you're in trouble, especially if you're a Republican in what could be, I stress, could be a good Dem year. I hate making predictions about the environment because waves break late.
We can't make predictions.
Get me like late October, we may have a better feel of what's going on. But
right.
We didn't see the Trump wave the last week out from November of 2016. So still a lot of stuff to come. But anyway.
The pro-Evers groups, obviously, the Democratic Governors Association, a stronger Wisconsin, Greater Wisconsin Political Fund, End Citizens United. Now, based on your reporting, they're not big players here, are they?
No, I mean, they've been doing like digital ads and that kind of thing. The big stuff has been the DGA has a group called A Stronger Wisconsin. They've been doing TV ads, both introducing Evers as, you know, a teacher, a principal, state superintendent, and also attacking Walker on healthcare, roads, some other issues. Greater Wisconsin, they both have also done ads defending Evers about this attack over the teacher license issue.
Right.
This has become a main focus of the attack on Evers from the state GOP and now Walker's campaign even, that Tony Evers didn't pull this license, this Middleton teacher from 7 years ago because he was caught viewing porn at school and making inappropriate comments about female students.
Right.
Evers has argued over and over again, did not have the authority at the time to do that. The law was changed. Now the attack has been, well, Evers didn't lead on the issue, no, he's superintendent. When talking to people, there's an impression for Republicans that that is an issue that moves people. Now, my questions are, is that the best punch they have? Is that the only punch they have? What else are they going to throw? Now, typically, you save your better punch for the end, but it seems like Republicans think this is the one that moves people, and they're going to throw it now because Evers, while he's becoming better well-known, is not that well-known, especially compared to Walker. There's a chance to define him. And when you struggle with independence as an incumbent, your options are, one, spend money to raise your numbers up, or two, to the other guy down. Well,
right.
Scott Walker has almost universal name ID. Been in office for 8 years almost. Everybody has an opinion of Scott Walker. It's tougher to raise his numbers up as a pull Tony's down.
Okay, and we have to specify here. We're talking about third-party independent players.
Mm-hmm.
Each of these candidates, Leah Vukmir, Tammy Baldwin, Scott Walker, and Tony Evers, and now we'll look at the Attorney General, Brad Schimmel and Josh Call. They have their own campaign committees.
Mm-hmm.
So these are groups playing outside the campaigns, but quite frankly, some of these groups have the ability to outspend and will outspend the campaign committees of the actual candidates, won't they?
Oh, well, look at the AG's race. The
Good.
RAGA
yep. Yep.
came in with its first buy, six figures, as part of a larger buy they're going to do. If you're Brad Schimmel, you need to have an identity outside of the generic GOP ballot by November 6th, I think it is, right? The reason is that if Walker loses, how does Brad Schimmel win? Okay? Top of the ticket could drive things. If you are a down ballot, right, the farther down ballot you are,
yep.
the more times you'd be susceptible to that top of the ticket influence.
Right.
Schimmel's best hope, if again, these are all the ifs, but if Walker loses, is to have a unique brand. Now, we're going to have U.S. Senate ads, gubernatorial race ads, AG ads, state Senate ads, probably some assembly ads. It'll be a cluttered airwaves by the time we get to November. So doing this now seems smart, people I talk to. They're doing an ad about school safety. If you're a budget geek, it's interesting to look at. They're saying that, you know, this is kind of Schimmel's program, and he put the money in, and he's doing the improvements because... Yep,
the $100 million for school safety grants.
It was Governor Walker's proposal. I'm sure DOJ, it worked with him on it, but this was driven by Scott Walker and legislature, not professional. But that, besides that, you have people going back to school right now. You have Republicans struggling with independent female voters, especially moms, suburbans, moms. It's all about school safety. It's clearly designed to appeal to these voters that Republicans have struggled with and try and build up Schimmel's identity with them ahead of November.
Well, do you expect more third-party groups to play an attorney general other than the Republican Attorneys General Association and the Democratic Attorneys General? Yeah,
I think eventually. If history is a guide,
yeah.
WMC has played in AG races before. They've been a driving force in those. So I'd watch that. The question is kind of, again, can you get outside that generic ballot question? And except for Doug LaFollette, because he's got a name that's synonymous with Wisconsin politics, it's hard, the lower down you go, to carve out a brand. Okay. That's what they're trying to do.
Okay, thanks.
And there's more to come. The one question about that ad, though, is we know the attack that's coming.
Yeah.
Brad Schimmel didn't test these rape kits that sat there for X months or years while he spent money on swag. I mean, this is the juxtaposition that we're hearing from Democrats. I don't know if this ad about school safety will inoculate him from that attack.
And Mr. Schimmel's going to say, by the end of this year, we will have cleared the backlog by giving, not in source with our crime lab, but making sure that those kits are tested.
Yeah.
Okay, new subject. The governor spoke to the Milwaukee Rotary Club. And at the end of that, he said, I'm going to have a highway funding plan by the end of this month, September. And he noted that millennials, including his sons, are increasingly using Uber and Lyft. Electric and hybrid cars will grow. And, quote, the old ways of paying for highways, gas tax registration fee may be outmoded. And he did offer a plan coming to pay for highways in the next budget by the end of this month. Were you surprised that he said plans got to come, or did he have to say that?
Well, budget proposals are due in less than 2 weeks, set up the next budget. So, we're focused on elections, but the agencies have been writing their budgets most of this year, or working on them at least. They're due September 17th, I think it is.
Yeah.
They have turned these proposals, so that'll be your first into the plan. What's interesting is Walker, in this speech, answering a question from the audience, said, people keep wanting to spend more money on roads and expand.
Yes.
He thinks we can do with what we have. Now, what's interesting is just 2 weeks ago, he called for DOT to look at expanding I-41 between...
In the Valley.
The Fox Valley.
In the Fox Valley.
The voter-rich Fox Valley that he needs to do well in.
Yes.
He called for looking at expanding that to 6 lanes, but now I'm telling a Milwaukee audience that's been through the Marquette and the Zoo Interchange constructions for the last 15 years... that maybe it's time to live with what we have.
Right. And right now, I want us to listen to the governor's answer on that. But the key words, just as you said, I wrote it down. I don't know that we need bigger, better, and broader right now. So let's listen to the video, the governor talking about the plan he will unveil, well, within days, to pay for highways in the next 2-year budget.
Going forward, we believe we can continue to make investments. We'll lay out in September some detailed things. We can do it. We believe we can do it without a massive gas tax increase. I actually challenged my opponent and said, because he keeps talking about it, I said, so what is it? Is it a buck a gallon? And he said, everything's on the table. And a couple hours later, his campaign manager said, well, no, they're lying about that. I said, well, then tell me what it is. What's the difference out there? We'll lay out our plan later this month about how we're going to continue to provide for the transportation needs of this state. We've given local governments the biggest increases they wanted in 20 years. There are some groups out there that want to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars on more, bigger, wider interchanges across the state. I actually think we should do it fixing and maintaining our infrastructure. I don't know that we need bigger and better and broader right now when we have a changing transportation system. My kids are a good example. They tend to ride Uber and Lyft more often than they ride their cars around. To me, I think as we look ahead, we need to re-examine the whole transportation goals that we have, because how we projected out 20 years ago, I don't think it's going to be the same.
Clue when Democratic candidate Tony Evers is going to come out. Now, if the governor says, I'm going to have a specific plan, does that nudge Mr. Evers forward? Could he even come forward with a specific plan first, beat the gov?
Almost every incumbent that I cover wants to push the challenger to have a specific plan, to put a roadmap on the table so they can like pick it apart. And every challenger I've covered has not done that. They've given vague platitudes or like an overview because they're not the incumbent. They don't have to. Why give them stuff to attack you with? So I don't expect Evers to say, I want to raise a gas tax X cents or cut this road project. He's going to say that he's going to try to fix the problem that Walker has.
Okay, but wouldn't he say, I'm going to show leadership here and have a specific plan before the governor came out with his?
Why give him fodder?
Why do that?
Yeah, why give him fodder? You know,
it would,
the reality
is called leadership, wouldn't it?
Well, the reality with Walker is that Governor Walker is not going to sign a gas tax increase. All right, that's just not
unless there's an offset, he says.
Even then, I've got my doubts because he's going to run for president someday. I mean, you don't win primaries on the Republican side raising taxes. So more likely, when I talk to people, they think if, again, like we're projecting way out there, but if Walker wins, Republicans look for a way to divert money from the general fund to the transportation fund rather than raising a gas tax.
Okay.
That said, this is a reality of like what Walker's next term would look like for roads. He's not going to expand things. He's not going to add more money into that fund, and we're going to have another. We would have another standoff with Republican lawmakers.
However, you just told Dot, look at widening I-41 and the critical Fox Valley. Anyway, let's move on. After we taped the last rewind, Supreme Court Justice Shirley Abramson put out this statement. It says, in part, on any day in this state, more than a quarter million people are facing a cancer diagnosis. I am one of them. My own participation by phone may well continue on occasion. When I next appear in court, it probably will be in a wheelchair, but I will still have my voice and most of the time a smile. We wish that she, the former Chief Justice, well in her battle for cancer. She's going to fight hard to complete this term. That's significant because it would deny the governor a chance to name a third justice?
She said in that statement that she announced this summer she would not seek another term, but she would throw out this one.
Yes.
And she has not changed her mind on either. And yeah, there's a political piece of it. I mean, it's kind of, I hate to talk about it a little bit, but if something forced her to leave office, you'd give Walker a chance to appoint somebody who would then take the majority from 4-3 conservative to 5-2 conservative. You would give a conservative candidate a possibly leg up in that race because it would be somebody who can retain the office rather than be an open race.
And there's one conservative candidate that has announced that we've not had a chance on the Rewind show, Brian Hagedorn.
Appeals court judge in the Waukesha-based Second District Court of Appeals.
Yes.
If there were an appointment, you would see a lot more people interested in that opportunity. Judge Lisa Neubauer, also of the Second District Court of Appeals, the chief judge of the appeals court. She's announced on the kind of left of center side. Some of them are still kicking the tires, but those two are in for sure. And the question that I have asked, though, is, and again, this is really speculative, but, do you want to be a Walker appointee right now, depending on what happens in November? Just something to think about.
Okay, but we have two odds and ends.
Hopefully, we'll come to that, and Justice Abramson will be just fine.
Thanks. Yeah, we wish her well in her battle with cancer. Two odds and ends before we go to stock picks. Department of Revenue this week announced how much the 100 per child sales tax rebate cost, $94.2 million, which was 22% less than the $122 million that had been estimated. The Department of Revenue statement said about 558,000 Wisconsin households claimed the $100 rebate. And that was lower than the estimate of 671,000. Any big news there?
No, I mean, it just shows, DOT spent money on postcards. It reached out on social media. The Governor Walker went out and promoted this thing for a while. It shows you the difficulty in trying to get people to sign up for something, even if it's, quote unquote, free money. Now, there are also people who objected to the idea of this. Democrats called it a bribe ahead of election season.
Yeah.
So people may have not decided, I didn't need the money, didn't want it because they didn't disagree with it.
Right.
But, for Walker, it goes into the wheelhouse of, we cut taxes by this much, we're returning tax dollars to the people who earned that money.
Right. And the other odd and end, the Packers open their 100th season Sunday against Da Bears. What is with this tweet back and forth on how players should behave during a national anthem?
Well, let's be honest, it's political catnip, right? It is.
So Walker said what?
Walker said that
they should stand with their hands over their hearts.
He went and found a tweet from Mandela Barnes, who is the Democratic nominee for lieutenant governor, who took a shot at Donald Trump back in January, I think, because Trump was at a public event and there were questions if he was really singing the words of the national anthem while he had his hand on his heart. And Barnes tweeted, "Take a knee."
Yeah.
So Walker pulled that back up in September.
Right.
And went on this, I think he sent 14 tweets before he's all done, saying, like, you know,
players should stand, put their hand over their heart.
None of this hiding in the locker room thing, that they should stand and respect the veterans and the flag. You know, does Tony Evers feel the same way about this? Where's Evers stand on this issue? Then you had this other thing where Mandela took shots back at Walker saying, well, why haven't you served in the three wars you could have? And Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish wrote on Twitter that neighbors had told her that Barnes knelt for the anthem, which Barnes said was a lie. I mean, again, this is political catnip. Total political
catnip. I completely agree, catnip. But
voters, Republicans will tell you that voters in, like, northern Wisconsin, this gets their attention. Walker needs the base to be jazzed up. This gets at the base. It's something Donald Trump has done quite a bit over the last year, right? It jazzes up his voters. Polls show that majority of voters believe NFL players should stand for the national anthem. So is this going to determine the election? No, I don't get the impression it will. But it could be an avenue for Walker to try and stoke some passion in a base when they're not very excited about the environment going on.
Didn't
right
it elicit a tweet from Evers on this subject?
Evers said that he
basically said
that he stands the anthem but respects those who take a different beat. I mean,
okay. Enough said. All right, stock picks. Rising.
So Foxconn, quickly, this is a little bit from last week when I wasn't here, but, you know, $100 million venture capital fund investment, UW-Madison, though Madison has to have the matching money.
Matching money.
But it's another piece we've talked about for months of this thing. They have to show, like, right, some benefit outside of southeastern Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Here's an example of where it could pay off a little bit. I don't think they move minds in Madison for Governor Walker, but, you know, it's a big benefit for UW-Madison, right? If they get the money, going to help with that.
Yeah, but I don't think that $100 million is part of their operating budget. But anyway, mixed.
So Walker, let's go back and talk about those polls. He's struggling with independents, all right? And this week he announced his 15th and 16th ad of the election campaign. 15 and 16. Two things in those ads. One, he expanded upon an idea about taking these grants for 11th and 12th graders down to 7th and 8th graders for apprenticeships, expanding that program. And then secondly, about attacking Evers. He can't move his numbers, at least not a whole lot, but he can tear Evers down. So the impression I'm talking to people is that Walker's trying to, like, keep giving independents this, okay, here's another idea. Here, do you like this one? Obviously, it's some polling behind that stuff,
right,
all tearing down Evers. Now, there's an avenue to tear down Tony Evers. It's the reality of the money that they have, and they think this issue is potent. But Walker's just kind of, like, in this spot where he's just, it's a unique position for him. You know, it's so many messages. Are they burning in? What's going on?
With less than 2 months ago.
His folks think he's, they keep pointing to the right track, wrong track number and saying, look, you know, that's the number to pay attention to. We'll hit that or close to it in the end.
Yeah.
But it's just not the Walker we're used to seeing with this many messages going out there and trying to do stuff like the Twitter storm about the national anthem.
Okay.
He's trying to find some footing with somebody.
Okay, and you got 30 seconds for falling.
Just real quick, Robert Wild, former Marquette president, asked for his name pulled off the dorm, saying he mishandled some sex abuse allegations. Not the best way to have your name out there.
Okay, trivia question. When Aaron Rodgers takes the field Sunday, his new contract calls for 144.
More than I'm going to make.
No, 134 million. And Khalil Mack, the new Chicago Bear defender, 144 million. Khalil Mack, okay. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for September 7.
Rewind. Your Week in Review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.